turn to Matthew 5. I wasn't here Friday night, missing the service. Two Fridays in a row. That was the first time in 16 years I missed two Fridays in a row. So I enjoy the Friday service. But I understand Bo Fisher had a really good word. I was worried about what he was going to share, and comes to find out he talked about worry. So I wanted to pick up on that this morning. The Holy Spirit quickened something to me in Matthew 5. Just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. How many of y'all tend to worry? How many of y'all tend to be anxious? Or just lose your peace? Folks, this is a common problem. It's a common frailty of the human condition. To worry, to fret, to be anxious. And life has a way of handing us lots of things to justify that. Am I right? I mean, as soon as everything seems to have calmed down and gotten its act together, and all of a sudden something else will show itself up. And I found this to be true. There's a scripture that Jesus said, in the world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I'm going to tell you something. As long as you live on this planet Earth, in this fallen reality, prior to Jesus coming back, this is a world, a fallen world, that is going to continue to have situations and dynamics and circumstances that could cause you to worry and to be anxious and to fret. Things don't always work out perfect. There's always something. As long as the devil's loose, you know, one day the devil will be bound. Amen? In fact, when the devil is bound, we're told that the angel, I think it's Revelation 20, binds the devil. The earth enters a 1,000-year reign called the millennial reign of peace. And, you know, at that point, we will then understand the extent in which the devil really controls the world. Because I think the way the paradise of the world will simply be all the demons are bound. And we'll have no clue the depth in which the demonic holds sway over creation itself. The lamb will lay down with the lion. The little children will play on the hole of the asp. The wars will end. Men will beat the weapons into plow. And because the demons will be bound. And we'll have no clue now the depth and the degree in which the demonic rules this world. The prince of the power of the air rules. We see these figureheads, these puppets, human beings, leaders. But you know, really, it's the spirits behind them that are the real driving force of evil and maliciousness in this day, in every sphere of our world. But that's just the way life is. You're going to have problems and things are going to come up. And Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. You know, it's almost like one time I thought about, we used to go, years ago, to a beach house in Galveston a lot for our vacations. And there's something about when you're by the sea, there's always another wave. Once in a while it'll be crystal, but very, very rarely. It seems like there's always a wave after a wave after a wave. You know, that's how life is. It's always something. I mean, as soon as you think you got over another, there's another one out there working its way in. And that's how life is. So if you're ever trying to think, well, I just want to get to the point where I won't have any more problems, and then everything will be fine, and I won't have to work, folks, forget it. I mean, that's the day you're going to get a flat and lose your job and what? The ceiling will leak. The water heater will break. Y'all hear what I'm saying? One day, I remember thinking, it was a Sunday morning or something, coming out of the bathroom at the house, getting ready. And I was just thinking, you know, everything's really going good today. Praise God. Stepped out in the hall and the carpet went squish. And I had that sinking feeling as the carpet went squish. This is going to be a problem day. Well, sure enough, looked up, the water heater upstairs had broken, draining through the sheetrock, dripping down. Those things happen, right? That's part of life. And so the key is not to somehow envision some utopian state where I won't have problems. No, the envision is, Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The key is to learn to overcome stuff. You know, it's analogous to this. I used to be a surfer. Back in the early 70s, and I really enjoyed surfing. And, you know, the thing about when you surf, and I used to surf down in, I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and we'd surf the waves of the Atlantic. And the thing about surfing, if you're out there just walking, playing around in the surf, you don't really want those giant waves going to bash you down in. You're not looking for big waves if you just want to kind of walk around in the surf. But if you have a surfboard, you're looking for the big waves. Literally, we'd sit out there and kind of bobbing our boards waiting for the big wave. That we were excited when a big wave came. The surfboard made all the difference. And I really believe the key to life is not to get bashed by the waves and the surf. It's to get a surfboard and learn to ride the waves. So that even the big stuff in life doesn't freak out. In fact, you go, cool. All right, all hell's breaking loose. That's cool. This is a really bad, bad day. Everything's coming out undone, mixed up, twisted around. All right, praise God. Let's see how the Lord will overcome it, this one. Y'all are not quite at that place. Okay. But that's what it's all about. Life doesn't get you down. Somebody said, how you doing today? Well, under the circumstance. What are you doing under there? You don't need to be under the circumstance. So what I want to talk about today is basically be not anxious. Matthew 5. Wrong. Matthew 6, verse 25. Simple scriptures, simple principle we need to be reminded every day. Matthew 6, 25, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, King James reads, take no thought for your life. I believe New American Standard says, be not anxious. Is that how your versions read? Do not worry, be not anxious for your life. Now listen, folks, right there. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, don't be anxious. You say, well, that's easy for him to say. He's God. He knows everything. I mean, he knows what's coming down the road. Easy for him to not be anxious. No, you understand. When he was on earth, he had the frailty of the human nature. He was God in the flesh, but he lived he was tempted in all points. Like, well, he was tempted to get worried, anxious. Hey, he felt a little bit of anxiety in the garden, I believe. But his command is, be not anxious. And he goes on to say, for what? Do not be anxious for what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or for your body, what you'll put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than clothes? Now think about it. Have you ever been anxious about what you're going to eat? Have been anxious about what you're going to wear? Am I going to have enough money to provide for the basics of my life? He's saying, don't be anxious. He said, behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? He's sweet reasoning with them. Look at the birds. They fly around. They're not wringing their feathers, freaking out. Where's the next day's seed going to be? Somehow, there's a scripture in the Psalm, thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. You don't see freaked out birds. They just somehow, I don't know, God leads those birds. How many of y'all know that God knows where every bird is at all times? There's a scripture that says, not a sparrow shall fall without your Father. It's interesting. It doesn't say, not a sparrow shall fall without your Father knowing it. It says, not a sparrow shall fall without your Father. Almost like the Father falls with the sparrow. God loves his creation. He provides the needs of the birds. Then he goes on to say, which of you by taking thought of being anxious can add one cubit to a stature? You know, some people are born short. You know, some people are born short. I remember there was a young guy when I lived in a Christian community back in the 70s. I lived with a family, and they had their stepson. He was a stepson. They'd adopted him, actually. It was an adopted son. And he was not quite a midget, but he was very, very short, insomuch that he felt very, had a lot of persecution, you know. He was kind of getting into junior high and put down. And I remember he had a chip in his shoulder half a mile wide. He had this little arrogant attitude. And you know why? It was to make up for the fact that he was short. But I remember he would tell me, man, I wish I was taller. You know, no matter how much he could wish or strive, you can't make yourself grow just by thinking and wishing. That's what Jesus says. No matter how many anxious, you can't make any differences. There are some things about your life that are unchangeable. Do you know that? You have unchangeables about you. Your personality, certain parts of your personality, I'm talking about who you are, what you look like. Some of y'all say, well, I just wish I didn't look like this. Like a lady that has naturally straight hair. You know, beautiful straight hair, and all the other ladies just envy it. You know what she wants? She just like hates it. She wants it frizzy and curly. Then you have a lady that has this frizzy curly hair. She just wishes she had straight hair like those other ladies, always ironing it out. You know, am I right? Isn't that the nature of man? We can't be content. We always, how come I can't have that? Guys don't have problems like that. It's just on the ladies' side. We keep ours short. And why take ye thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory. Let me tell you what. You read about Solomon in all his glory. When the Queen of Sheba came, it said she fainted and freaked out, could not believe the beauty of Solomon. I mean, in the Jewish mind, this was the epitome of majesty with Solomon. He says, look, a little flower in the field doesn't even, can't even compare. Solomon's glory can't compare with the beauty, the intricacy, the glory of a flower. You ever look at one of those flowers called the lantana? Are they from Atlanta, by the way? I really wonder if the lantanas were from Atlanta. Anyway, the lantana is a fascinating little flower. And you look at it, or you look at some of these flowers, and you just start, the depth of color, the intricate design, the creation, all created by the hand of God. He says, God just creates these marvelous little beautiful, majestic looking things out there that are on the roadside that people just rode their ride by, don't even look at. He says, those are creations of God. Again, he says, if God so clothes the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast to the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. You know what he's trying to say? Do you know who you are? You that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize who you are? That all of creation out there, the animal, the vegetable creation, what you can see, God's heart is for you. In fact, he created creation for man. I really believe that. I believe all of creation was created, all that we see was created for man. I believe he has the beauty of a sunset, the glory of a sunrise, the majesty of mountains is for man. He really wants to excite man. It really pleases God when we ride down the road, you happen to glance over the sun setting, you see this, you know, glorious burnt orange and colors of purple and everything, you're going to go, huh, that's cool. You know, and God's going, come on, man, praise me, I created that. Oh, that's just some celestial, evolutionary, coincidental stardust. You know what I'm saying? God, you know why I know this is true? Because when Adam was in the garden, it says God created all these animals, and he brought them to Adam. Listen. And it said God looked to see what Adam would call them. It's almost like he said, hey, God was excited. Now you say, what do you mean God looked to see what Adam would call them? God knows everything. Adam would say, elephant. God said, I knew that. Antelope. Had that one down. No. God, I don't understand this. God was excited. It's like he was looking at my creation, Adam. What's he going to call these animals? It's like, we don't understand the level that Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. And God was excited about this creation, more so than angels. There's something about man and woman and the creation of man and woman created in his image is so higher up than the angelic. It is the highest order of creation. Did you know that? Did you know we are the highest order of creation? You don't feel like it this morning, right? Did you look at yourself this morning? I am the highest order of creation. You are. When we get up into heaven, we see the magnitude of the hierarchy of the angelic, the created beings, all the way down to the lowest animal. You know, we are the high, we are the pinnacle. Now, Hebrews 2 says, for a little while, we're under the angels. But one day, we'll be crowned. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8, all creation groans and travails together in pain. In fact, one version reads, all creation stands on tiptoe, waiting for the adoption, waiting for the sons of God to come into their own. All creation is waiting for man, the manifestation of the glory of the sons of God. All creation is waiting for us to get our glorified bodies. It's true. A whole creation is waiting, longing, when Jesus comes again. But in this dispensation, God wants us to understand this by faith, by the truth of his word. God's heart is for us. His heart is for you. He loves you. He wants us to slow down and give thanks for the glory of his creation, for the glory and the fact that he takes care of every need. Every next time you're worried about something, go out and look at the birds or go out and look at some flowers. Say, wow, God takes care of this. What am I freaked out about? Now, you might look at your checkbook. You might look at this and that and say, well, I don't understand how this is going to happen. I've done all the math. There's no way I'm going to be able to meet all these needs based upon what I have in front of me. You don't understand. You're not dealing with a logic with God. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, casting down logic. That's the Greek. Logic and everything exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing all thoughts captivity to Christ. It literally casts down logic. When you come to giving unto the Lord, but giving doesn't make any sense. The more you give, the more God will bless you from the backside. Doesn't make any sense. But it's the way God is. And then he says in verse 31, therefore, be not anxious, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Where will we be, with will we be clothed? Look at this. After all these things the Gentiles seek. You know what he means? He means the lost people. People that don't have a relationship with God. People that don't love the Lord. People that don't have an intimacy with Jesus. They're freaking out. You know, there are more Americans taking antidepressant drugs today than you can fathom. And unfortunately, many, many believers. People take drugs. An incredible amount of drugs in our culture. One of the reasons is because many people have lost the simplicity of walking with Jesus. Just walking with Jesus, who takes away our worries and cares. Y'all remember that verse? Come unto me, all ye that are what? And I will what? I mean, that's so simple. But people have lost the passion of the intimacy with Jesus. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Do you believe that God knows your exact need right now? Does God know how much is in your checking account? Does God know that that car needs a new transmission work? Does God know your needs at your home? That this is a need and that? Does God really know about these? God didn't care. Well, yeah, I'm waiting on him. He hadn't done nothing. He hadn't fixed my tire. You understand, God works in mysterious ways. God will fix your tie. If God sees your heart is right and you fulfill the next verse or two, you watch God come through for you in ways you can't fathom. What is the next verse? But seek ye what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look at this. And all these things shall be added unto you. Folks, let me tell you something. This is a sure promise of the word of God. Is anything written? If you will simply get your priorities right, God will come up behind you and provide for these needs in ways you cannot logically fathom at times. He will. He will. It's amazing. This summer, I will have walked with Jesus 35 years. Wow, that's a long time. 35 years this summer, I will have walked with Jesus since I've been born again. And I can tell you, he's never failed me. And I've had lots of situations where it seemed like logic said this wasn't going to work out. You know what? It always works out. If my priorities are right. As long as my heart every day is to seek first the kingdom of God, look, and his what? Now, what does that mean? Somebody says, that's kind of nervous. Well, I'm kind of seeking the kingdom of God. You know, every time somebody brings it up, I go, well, yeah, I'm for the kingdom of God. I want the kingdom of God to come. What does it really mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? You know, the Lord clarified to me some years ago. You know what it means? Listen, it's just to stand up for what's right. You got it? Seek the king and his righteousness. Make righteous mean to stand up for what's right. Are you willing to stand up for what's right? Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before my man, before man, I will deny you before my Father. What he's saying is there anybody down there willing to make a stand? Have the guts to stand up for what's right? To not compromise? Are you one of the ones that are blown with the wind, always seeking approval? Always seeking the consensus? Taking polls to know where you should stand, like a lot of politicians? Or do you have the guts to stand up for what's right? Folks, I'm telling you what, if you have the thing in your character, I'm going to do what's right. I don't care who says what, I'm going to do what's right. I don't care if you make me mad. I don't care if I make you mad. I'm more worried about him than I am you. You know, if you will do that, God himself will stand up off the throne, get the angels, say, look, I need some extra angels. We want some serious work done for this one. I found one down there. 2 Corinthians 16 says, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro across the earth to show himself strong to them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's what it says. His eyes are looking. Why did he pick Abraham? You ever think about that? There was this guy named Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees, this town that worshiped devils. And God just, I don't know what, picks this one guy, Abraham. Leave everything you've known, everything you're comfortable with. Leave and go to a land that I should tell you. And I'm not giving you any more details than that. I kind of let you know as you go. And what did Abraham do? What? Right. No, what do you? He went and see, God saw Abraham's heart. God saw there's a man, there's something inside of him, and sure enough, it was proven in Genesis 22. He actually asked him to give up his son. Remember that? As a burnt offering, and Abraham came through. He didn't just pick Abraham out of nobody, out of nowhere. That was a man God saw. There's something in that man willing to stand up for what's right to the cost of his own life. You know, God's looking at the same thing. Does he know that you have the character within you to stand up for what's right? To not back down. Let me tell you what, that's the key to being free from fear. If you're willing to be more afraid of man, afraid of God than fear of man, fear of God more than fear of man, to stand up for what's right, and that's in every situation. Are you willing to stand up for what's right with your mother? Some of y'all have unhealthy relationships with your mom. Seriously. You won't stand up for what's right. You may compromise. How about your dad? How about your siblings? You don't want to, you know, make them mad at you or be unpopular. You want to be able to go to Christmas next year at home and nobody and not be. Are you willing to stand for what's right with your coworkers? How about your boss? Huh? How about there's something shady going on? Something that your conscience is bothering you about, but you just blow it off. Do you know Jesus has called you to stand up for what's right? To be salt and light. We're salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its savor, it's not good for anything. You're the light of the world. Where am I, light of the world? Wherever you are, you're the light. You're called to stand up for what's right. Be willing to lose your life till you can find it. Be willing to lose friends. You know, I found when you stand up for what's right, God will come behind you and give you 10 times whatever you lose. And whatever you lost wasn't worth having anyway. The place I'm employed, I have a dual career. The business I'm in now, in the financial services business, God has really blessed me and given me a really good position. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I warrant it. I don't think my work, I don't think I deserve being a regional vice president with this company. I really don't. But my wife can tell you, there have been incidents in the last 2 years that would come up. I went to those in authority over me and stood up for what was right. I called the head guy of this whole Texas region, called him on the phone, said, I have a problem with this. It's new age. It would affect Christians. I know this is a Christian organization, but I'm a Christian and I have a problem with it. And it turns out this head guy happens to be a preacher's son. And he said, well, I have a problem with it too. And don't worry, it'll change. And I have no problem going to my authorities. I don't care anymore. I want what's right because I want to stand up for Jesus. I talked to another one of the other bosses not long ago. I said, you know, I like this company, but like anything, at times it tends to get obsessive, and you need to forgive me, but I've not drunk the Kool-Aid here. I said, I don't intend on drinking the Kool-Aid. Y'all know what that means? To swallow the whole thing and just be. I said, my passion is not this company, sir. My passion is the kingdom in Jesus. And he kind of settled back in his chair. He looked at me and said, I knew that. And he said, I believe you need to just be free to do your thing, Chris. I sat in his office. I said, well, I will, and I'm going to do the best I can. I said, but the way I'm going to do it is give it to Jesus. He's going to come up behind me and bless the socks out of me, and I'm not going to get into the hype. And he just kind of shook his head because he's used to the hype. But you know what? God, as a result of making a stand for what's right, guess what? Jesus will bless me. Am I right? Be a witness for Jesus. I gave this guy a David Wilkerson teaching while I was at it, the newest one he just came out with. I said, here, read this. And he's going to read it. See, God, wherever you are, you are light. God wants you. If you got the guts. You know, it's a wimp that just bows down to people worrying about it. Get me, what a miserable, fear hath torment. Joshua, I'm going to challenge you. You're going over to San Antonio. You're going to be under the employ of people. You're going to be trained. You're going to be learning stuff. You're going to be, you know, tutelage under authority. Don't let any of that get in the way with what's right. You got to be respectful. I was always respectful with authority, but I never let their authority get in the way of what I think was right, particularly when it affected other people. And I'm going to tell you what, people respect you. I have been promoted to a level far beyond I'm worthy, deserve, because they respect me. Because they know one thing about Chris. Well, we're going to get the bottom line out of that guy. He's going to be real. And that's the way I treat my clients. When I'm with a client, they know I'm going to do what's right for them, even to the detriment of my own time. And you know what? As a result, I do well in the business. You understand what I'm saying? It's a character trait of passion. And when that comes across, people, doors open. Because you're a rare breed. You're a jewel. You're a gem in this world. Most people walk around compromised, politically correct, and don't have the guts to stand up for Jesus. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't care about the religious establishment. He didn't care about the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He didn't even worry about his mama. Mama came to the door and said, "What you doing getting here?" He said, "Who's my mother?" "You're my mother." And the word got back to her, and I saw her sword went into her soul. And that's what the prophet said, a sword in her soul. That soul tie had to be broken in mama. And as a result, she was there on Pentecost. And it wasn't, "Oh, I'm his mother." I'm sorry, the Catholics got it wrong. That was not her heart. Her heart was, she was a broken, humble servant of God. Y'all understand now what it means to seek first? Folks, let me tell you something. If you do this, if you determine I'm going to seek what's right, anxiety will lose its hold in you. Because most of us, what we're afraid of is what people think. Afraid of what people think. Well, guess what? People are going to think all kind of things. I don't care if you do it right, do it wrong, compromise. They're still going to think. You know, they're going to think about, well, I just don't like them. They don't look right. They walk funny. They talk funny. They smell. Oh, they smell too good. Too much perfume. No perfume. I mean, somebody, look, if you're right about trying to please men, it is an frustrating game. Amen? So the heck with it. Just be yourself. Amen? Is this encouraging anybody today? You do this, and God will look down and shine a light from heaven on you. I'm telling you, it's true. I'm a living testimony of this. Jesus is first in my life. And what he wants is first. And I praise God, he'll provide for my needs. And that's the last verse here. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. I love this. For the morrow will take thought for the things itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Folks, tomorrow is Monday, May 29th, 2006. God says, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Now, I have taken thought for tomorrow in the sense that my PDA has a few things I have to do tomorrow. I have some things I have to do. But you know what? I'm not anxious. I have to make a phone call Tuesday to an individual that yesterday I was anxious about. This particular phone call of this particular individual involves a level of confrontation, and I remember kind of being anxious about it. Walking around going, I'm not looking forward to that phone call because it's just going to bring up a demon. So I went and I had a quiet time, and I sang in the Spirit. I learned how to do this. I got right in the presence of the Father. I said, Father, here, I put that phone call Tuesday at your feet. I am not going to carry the anxiety of that. It's your deal. You'll give me grace in Jesus' name. Do you know, about a few minutes later, I realized it was totally out of my brain. I didn't even think about it. In fact, right now, the first time I've thought about it since then. Do you understand how I got that off my heart? Cast your burden upon the Lord, and what? He'll sustain you. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Folks, it's the only way to live. Some of y'all are worried about something tomorrow. I don't know what's coming down. What's tomorrow? Monday. Go to work. Well, some of y'all worried because you're not going to be able to work. I don't know. Some of y'all worried about Tuesday. You know, I don't know. Maybe you got your new review coming out. Y'all get those reviews. You know, you're at work. You're worried. You know what, folks? Listen, worrying and being anxious is part of the human condition. Fear is, it happens. Don't deny it. Don't get in some na-na. Be real. Just go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And I found the best way to go to Jesus is in the Spirit. Did you hear what I said? In the Spirit. I go to Jesus with my mind all day long. It don't work. It's in the Spirit. Well, how do you get in the Spirit? I pray in the Spirit. I sing in the Spirit. I recommend it highly. Speaking in tongues. I sing in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, get in the Spirit where I'm at peace, and then I go right to the Father. I say, Father, I'm here in the name of Jesus. I put this deal at your feet. I do not want to carry this emotional baggage. It's your deal. You take care of the birds and the flowers, you can certainly take care of this deal. I lay it at your feet. It's yours. Forgive me for fretting about it. I'm bought at the price. I'm not my own. It's your deal, not mine. I just want to live in the present moment. And then sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell me, rebuke the demon. Right there, there's maybe a demon. You know what the demon is sometimes? Fear. Y'all ever heard of the spirit of fear? We're not given a what? Is it a spirit? Well, sometimes you have to rebuke the spirit. Sometimes if you've been given ground to that demon, it's a spirit. And you know how something's a spirit? Hey, Patricia. You know how something's a spirit? That when you pray and you give it to Jesus and it's still buzzing around your head. I'm serious. You go to the Father, you lay it down, and it's still bugging you. Well, at that point I go, okay, dude. It isn't the soul, this is a demon. Guess what? We got something for that. The Bible says we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And at that point I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of fear, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Name of the Lord, get thee off of me. Jesus' name. Come, Holy Ghost. I tell you what, if the other didn't work, that always does. Amen? Folks, this is how you walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, the minding of the flesh is death, but the minding of the Spirit is life and peace. One of my favorite verses, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. In fact, let's look there. Kind of close with this. This is one of my favorite verses. We'll close with this verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. If you hadn't discovered this one yet, obscure little verse, loaded with gold. This verse is one of the most powerful principles of the Spirit, I think, in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself, listen to this, give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now, folks, if you don't grasp the depth of what that verse is saying, God will give you peace always by all means. That means you ought never be anxious. The promise of God is, I will give you peace no matter how bad, how oppressive, how difficult, there's peace to be had. It's had. Just come and get it. I tell you what, if you walk in peace and you lose your peace, few things is miserable. I hate to lose my peace. Now the God of peace himself will give you peace always. So I just go to a demon. If I don't have peace, I go to the Father. I say, Father, you promised peace all things. Now what's the deal here? And sometimes it takes some wrestling in the spirit, like Jacob had to wrestle. And finally the Holy Ghost will get you down. Like I shared a few months ago, I was in Brenham for a couple of days at the bed and breakfast, seeking the Lord, working on stuff. And I remember I shared with Sherry, there was this phone call. It caused a lot of consternation in me, and I didn't have my peace for about a day. Finally, that night, about 2 a.m, I cried out to the Lord, and he cleared his throat. He said, hello, you need to humble yourself. Oh. You mean I have a responsibility in this situation? You mean I might have done something wrong? As soon as I said, forgive me, Jesus, I see my deal, guess what I got? The peace. I was able to go to sleep, and it was done. Amen? So sometimes it takes a while because how many of y'all are stubborn? How many of y'all are determined to get that peace on your terms? I'll have peace. I'll work it. I don't want to have to humble myself. They're wrong. It's their fault. Lord, I'm waiting for them to come to me. You ever get that? Scripture doesn't leave that option. Scripture says if your brother offends you or you offend your brother, it's incumbent upon you in both cases to go make it right. You can't sit back and say, I'm waiting for them to go make it right with me. No. Blessed are the, you ready? Peacemakers. For they should be called the children of God. God wants us to be peacemakers. But you know, you got to have peace to be a peacemaker. You got to learn how to get the peace to be a peacemaker. You know, when Jesus would show up, he'd always say, my what? Peace. You know, it's something tangible. You know, you can give peace to someone. You can lay hands. You can bless people with peace. That's a wonderful thing. Lay hands and let the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. So, what are we going to do, folks? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. What's the message this morning? First, you determine. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm going to quit the compromising ways. I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. And it could be anybody. You know, God's always got somebody in your life he's wanting you to speak to be salt to. Somebody, it might be a neighbor. And you're scared and you're afraid. Well, walk through your fear. You'll never grow up until you do. Amen? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you're on the other side. He spreads a table in the presence of my enemies, and the cup runs over with oil. Walk through it. The Spirit of God is with you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it. Walk through the fear. Get off your and go forward. Amen? Stand up. Don't be afraid of men's persons. Fear of man is a snare. Did you know if you're afraid of a person, you're actually afraid of a demon? Because it's usually the demon and the person you're intimidated. So that demon runs you. Like I've said before, if there was one person in this church, just one person, that I was intimidated by, one person, and felt afraid to be myself from the pulpit, guess what? The demon in that person is the pastor. You get that? The demon in that person pastors the church because the pastor's intimidated by the demon in that person. I ain't going to be intimidated by no demon. You really don't want a demon for a pastor. There's lots of churches that have demons for pastors. Oh, there may be a man up there with a tie and everything. Or there may be different leaders. But when he gets down to it, he's really intimidated by that strong woman over there and doesn't want to say the wrong thing. Otherwise, she'll get mad or her husband will get mad and they'll pull their tithes away. So guess who rules the church? The demon. So I got to get to the point. Tithes, smites. Jesus. Amen? He'll provide. I don't ever want to lose the freedom to speak it like it is. Amen? And the Holy Ghost comes. And you feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm challenging you. So that's the first thing, is stand up for what's right. And the second thing, folks, is learn to access the peace of God. Get in the Spirit. Every day, quiet time, in the morning preferably, get in the Spirit. And the goal of every quiet time is to get in the presence of the Father. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What mercy do we need? Peace. We need encouragement. We need boldness. We need whatever we need to walk through whatever is the daily bread, the daily cross. Amen? To overcome the tribulation that comes today. Give us this day our daily bread. Be not anxious for tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil. You got enough on today. Don't carry tomorrow's. That's all hypotheticals. It could all change. Amen? Just walk with today's grace. Praise God. We got enough for today. And then once you, and now I tell you, once you've learned to get in the presence of the Father and cast your burden on him, government's on his shoulder, amen? Then at that point, if the thing is still buzzing around your head, aha, it's a demon. Then you pull out your sword. In Jesus' name, Satan, get thee behind me. Let's all stand. Gene. Jesus. We thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you that you promised us, Lord, a life of peace, of grace. Jesus, you promised us a life, Lord, in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for being a wimp. Great is the Holy One in the midst of my soul. In the midst of my being. Satan, you're a liar. I crush fear under my feet. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Father, I will come boldly to your throne to lay my burdens down at your feet, to have the courage to stand up for what's right, to be salt and light in this world. That you would be pleased and you'd send the Holy Ghost in my life. Provide for needs beyond my understanding and cause me to make a difference in this world, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I just speak a blessing of peace. 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 Jesus is peace. I give unto you this morning. Right now, receive peace. Lord, come like just oil on the head. Pour peace on every troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, Jesus said. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come. Take a deep breath. Let the peace of God come on your spirit, on your soul. Bring you to the quiet waters. I bind spirits of fear, anxiety. I bind the tormenting spirits. I take your power. I take your power over their souls and minds this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, the blanket of peace. Live in the present moment, trusting in God with all our heart. And you'll take care of all the rest, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.